It's episode 231 of the Kaiju Popcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Chad O'Brien. Over there is Chris Charlton.
I'm over here.
He is apparently riding the teacups.
That's me. I was just running towards the camera, like the start of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
There you go. And over on the other side is Jason Gibson.
Way off in the distance.
That's right. That's right. I have to keep these guys very separated. They do not work well together, which is why we so seldom see them on together. In fact, some things happened and none of us were able to get together. Last week, various circumstances forced us to all stay apart. And, sorry about that, guys, but we are back this week.
Jason, yeah. I want your third-party opinion on this. And perhaps maybe it's a regionalized American thing.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it's this or whether Chad is just weird. But so we're both in charge of the Kaiju Pop Twitter account, at Kaiju Pop.
Right.
And when there wasn't a podcast this week, Chad posted on the Twitter account that there wasn't going to be a podcast due to unfortunate circumstances, which I thought was strange because it makes it sound like somebody's died or something, and that the correct term was due to unforeseen circumstances. And I sent Chad a text to let him know this, and Jeff was like, well, they're interchangeable. If you're really that fussed about it, then you should change it. And obviously I'm not that fussed about it, but I do want to know, is that an Americanism? Is unforeseen and unfortunate interchangeable? Because they clearly mean two different things.
I wouldn't say they're interchangeable. I wouldn't say that. I would prefer unforeseen. Unfortunate does kind of sound like somebody was at least injured, maybe not dead.
But at the same time, I'm gonna go to bat for myself because... nothing is unforeseen when it comes to getting you guys together. Frequently, I get messages 30 minutes before we're about to go on saying, yeah, no, I'm just not feeling it.
From somebody.
It happens, and I don't begrudge either of you. Yeah, on my end, it was actually a technical thing. Otherwise, I would have done a solo podcast.
What was your technical thing? I'm intrigued now.
I have no clue whatsoever. My microphone simply was not picking up my voice. And then it worked. I tried it the exact same way for 3 days straight, and on the third day, it worked.
Did you record a whole podcast and then listen to it and it was nothing but dead air?
No. When I do a solo podcast, obviously I'm not using Skype.
Straight into Audible.
Right, exactly. I do it into Audible, which has like the visible waveform, so I could immediately see just dead air.
You've robbed me of my enjoyment, Chad.
Which is not to say that, you know, every so often I just sit in my room and talk to myself for an hour or so about video games.
So, Chad 2, what do you think about Dragon Quest? Well, Chad 1.
That's right. The art style has gotten old. I'm tired of Akira Toriyama. Move on to somebody else, please. Yeah. So we're back from outer space, and various other things. But
do you have a sad look on your face?
I don't know. I don't have a mirror. I think I'm smiling. I can't.
Well, you should be, because we actually have stuff to talk about this week.
Well, yes, we do.
Opposed to previous weeks.
On that glorious segue, let's move on to our first topic then. We do have things to talk about, but not our first topic. We don't have much to go on because we were basically given a stat dump and that's about it. We're going to talk about Microsoft revealing basically the technical specifications for the Xbox One Scorpio, or whatever they're going to call that thing.
They're going to call it the Xbox.
That is one of the speculated ideas.
It'll just be like, it'll just be like iPad, where they just say, okay, here's a new one. It's called iPad.
You know what they should do? You know what they should do? They should give it the special edition tag, but they should put it at the front and say it's the special edition Xbox, so then it can be the SE Xbox.
Clever boy.
Do you come with a console?
I will say...
That's enough out of you. That's enough.
I will say that it is... I really hope that they don't go with just the straight branding of Xbox. Because this isn't a personal problem for me in particular, because I don't really follow the Microsoft console anyway. But, you know, it's already difficult to find, if you type into Google, if you're searching for, like, an original Xbox something, you type in Xbox game, I don't know, and it'll go, you mean Xbox One, right? Of course.
It's incredibly having to do this sort of thing, like every month for the RetroPost. It's incredibly difficult across the fucking board to get screenshots of original versions of games that are not fucking HD remasters.
Yep, yep.
It's such a pain in the ass.
And we'll be talking about that in just a bit.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Xbox, it's all, you know, I'm sure you have the list of numbers. I'm sure not many people care, but they're high numbers, is what I gather.
Right. And, so, yeah. I'm not gonna go through the every spec, but the things that do kind of matter is the Project Scorpio has 4 extra gigabytes of RAM, so both the Xbox One and PS4 Pro, as well as the original PS4, have 8 gigabytes of DDR5 RAM. Project Scorpio has 12, and also one thing that the Scorpio has over PS4 and the Pro version is that it will support 4K ultra-high definition Blu-ray discs in the optical drive. Now, honestly, this has been, like, something that people have kind of lorded over PS4 and the Pro, for a while. Like, haha, it doesn't have a 4K Blu-ray drive. But I literally know zero people who own 4K Blu-rays. It's all streaming content now.
Well, and who has a TV that's really capable of that, even?
I do.
Well, you do, but, like, the masses of people who buy Xbox, like the guy living in his mother's basement, is he really going to have a 4K TV?
Guy living in his Xbox, probably.
The guy living in his Xbox. Right,
guy living in his mother's basement probably has disposable income, so he doesn't have to pay rent or a mortgage. So he might.
Maybe his mom has a 4K TV.
There you go. And lets him use it when she's not watching The View. I don't know. Maybe she's playing Gears herself, but, and of course the CPU is a lot faster. It's got the 8 cores, clocking at faster speeds. I don't know what it all translates to, but it does seem to match that 6 teraflops, number, which really means very little to people like me who have no technical knowledge of what a single flop does.
They showed this alongside Forza 6.
Yes.
It was like a very quick sort of slapdash. They did it in a week or something. Mm-hmm. Port, and it was basically, it was the same Forza 6 that was on Xbox One, but it was running native 4K. They were doing, okay, so it's doing all these things, native 4K, 60 frames per second, and they were saying, showing how much of the hardware was sort of taxing, or how much of the GPU was taxing. It was something like 50% or something, or 60%.
Right.
So it can do all of this shit, native 4K, 60, and still have a lot of room to spare, which is a good deal more than the PS4 Pro.
Yes, that is very good. But at the same time, I have no doubt in my mind that the Scorpio will be more powerful than the Pro. I'm not,
of course.
I'm not trying to argue that point. But at the same time, Forza kind of seems like the I mean, it's what you're going to show because Forza is supposed to be beautiful, but, yeah. I mean, that's an internal team with all the knowledge of just how to get every inch of, right. horsepower out of that engine. We don't know what the third parties are going to do. And at the same time, like, I kind of worry about, when the PS4 Pro was coming out, people already had worries about whether games would seriously be able to run on the Pro and the regular PS4. Like, it kind of seemed like it would run excellently on the Pro and kind of stutter or be terrible on the regular version. Now, the Scorpio is going to be miles ahead of even the Pro. And then you're going to have games that have to run on that and the regular Xbox One.
Well, I think like a lot of, if you're developing for Xbox One, then you're developing for PC as well,
by the
nature of that platform. And that's already such a massive diversification anyway,
absolutely.
Inbuilt. And so like it was, so they had, I think they did two demos of Forza, if I'm remembering it right, where they just had a plain vanilla Forza taxing 60% of the system. And then they ran a version of Forza that was equivalent to like the PC version on Ultra. And it was like 80%. So, I think like that's basically probably what a lot of Scorpio games are going to be, is it like effectively the PC version on Ultra. What I thought was interesting as well was that it's so like the it's effectively got like the PS4 Pro boost mode running all the time.
Right.
So the 360 games and Xbox One games, even without patches, will be marginally better. Like you can't suddenly expect an Xbox 360 game to be running in 4K. Like that would need to be completely patched. But they're saying if a game has variable resolution, like it's targeting 900p or whatever, but like it drops down to 720 in certain situations, then it will be a consistent 900p. Or like if it's targeting 60 frames and it has stutters, then those stutters would be gone.
Right.
Like kind of automatic.
Yeah. One of the big titles last year that had this was Titanfall 2. It was known for its dynamic resolution because it was basically a locked 60 frames, but yeah, it would have a dynamic resolution which would affect textures. And with the Scorpio, you're always going to get the best textures and that 60 frame rate. It seems really good, and the general consensus seems to be that this is basically gonna be a, upper mid-tier PC-like box. You're not gonna get your super PC engine out of it, obviously, but, it's obviously gonna be, a lot of bang, but the buck is where people are concerned. We have no idea what the price is going to be, and I forget who did it, Spectre, maybe. Basically, the administration has said that they will basically not be talking about it anymore until E3. So, I'm a bit skeptical about that decision. It kind of seems like they should be spending their time just laying everything out on the table now and then just save E3 for the games.
I don't know. When did, because like they officially showed off the Pro very late, right? Before it came out.
Right. But at the same time, they had like the official like Pro event. And the Pro event got a lot of flack because, I mean, kind of unfairly because they were trying to show things that you can't show through streaming online videos. Like, here's the HDR, and you're like, I don't see anything. And now you're going to get an E3 stage, which is everybody's going to be watching that, and they'll do the exact same thing. I don't know. Digital Foundry said it looks amazing, but yeah, you're going to get on that stage, and people aren't going to see it. So,
right. Yeah. that's the trick as well. Yeah, I think like they need to double down and say like this is what it can do on 1080 TVs, you know. On
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Regular high definition TVs, which is something that the Pro has been sorely kind of lacking. You know, is like a game that says, look at how much, you know, that pushes shit on the screen, as opposed to upgrading resolution, which is not something I've ever had an eye for, to be honest with you. It's something like I can tell with my naked eye going from Zelda on the Switch, you know, in tablet mode to TV mode. But beyond that, like, I'm not like hugely.
I've never been so much of a fanatic about resolution that 900 or 1080 or even 4K.
4K
is
buy a 4K TV though.
No, I mean I bought one because my old TV was old, like it was already 10 years old, so I was just getting a new one anyway. And I was like, as long as I'm getting a new one, I might as well get 4K. But especially since it was on sale so like I'm really happy with 4K material. Like I love the look of Horizon, but when I play Zelda, even when I take the screenshots and like I look at the screenshots and I can see the jaggies. Like they are so obvious. Yeah. But it's like I don't care. Like it's still like the general feel looks nice. And that's all I care about. So that is the Scorpio. More powerful than anything else out there, unless it's a PC. So And that's been the argument all along, right? If you are truly only going for graphics, then yeah, just switch to a PC.
Just go to PC. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody has $3,000 to drop
exactly
on a gaming system.
And the pain in the ass of building, you know.
I enjoy building PCs. I enjoy that.
Right. But that's, you know, it's a whole like fucking community, right? Separate hobby to just playing video games.
That's true.
Yeah. And especially here in Japan, like computer parts are they're a premium out here. So
Oh yes.
Yeah, it's basically like at least 20% more expensive for like normal parts. I actually thought about building a PC myself at one point, until I saw the prices of the cards. No thanks. Not right now, anyway. So let's move from superpower to not so superpower, by going to Nintendo. We were just talking about the Switch anyway, and we were talking about the HD remasters that you came across. Nintendo had a direct this week focused primarily on ARMS and Splatoon 2, which will be coming out within the next, I think by August, Splatoon 2 is coming out. I forget.
It might even be sooner than that. ARMS is June, I believe.
ARMS is June, right. Yep. But the direct was not solely concerned with those two games. There were several portions where basically they speed ran through a number of headlines about various titles coming to the system. And if you like ports and HD remakes, then the Switch is going to be loaded up with those.
Lots of Wii U ports?
No news on that yet.
That's all I want is just like put all the Wii U games on Switch cartridges and I will get them.
Because you never played them on Wii U.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm getting Mario Kart 8.
So, just like they did, I'm going to speed run through these real quick. So, of course, we've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming out very soon, I think. this month, then Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers, which has, you can switch between, like, new art mode and, super art mode, super old art mode.
It's got a first person.
Yeah. Not for regular combat. It's like throw Hadoukens at targets, but, as well as like a two player co-op mode where you can get you and a friend can beat one computer opponent, which is weird. Anyway.
Is that like the idea that we talked about before by splitting the Joy-Cons up?
Yeah, it is.
You've actually got punches and the other guy's got kicks. That's cool.
Well, no, because, yeah, you each control one fighter, but you have a shared health bar, so. Anyway, there's Minecraft is coming to Nintendo Switch to the surprise of no one because it's already on everything else. And both of the new Sonic games, that's Sonic Mania, and I don't think the other one has a title yet, just Project Sonic.
Here we go again.
Project Mekuru, which kind of seems like it's a weird, like, four-person free-for-all battle game where you butt-stomp a tile on a board and, like, four tiles in, like, a cross-section turn to the color of your robot, and you have to turn all the tiles over to your color to win the game.
It's like Othello.
Yeah, kind of. Then Disc Gaia 5 complete. It's already out in Japan, but it's coming to the West. More Neo Geo masterpieces. Neo Geo is just
you
so prominent.
What? Like, I was all ready to get a couple of things. Bearing the lead, like I bought a Nintendo Switch since the last podcast. But like I was all ready to get a couple of those Neo Geo games. And you know the stupid fucking inane thing for Neo Geo games that are built around, you know, the Neo Geo system, which had a stick and four buttons,
mm-hmm.
right? But you can't play those games two-player with the two Joy-Cons. You have to have another controller.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
And it's already got the stick and four buttons, so...
You're right, exactly.
Weird. I did not know that. The only one I've purchased is Metal Slug thus far.
I was going to get Neo Turf Masters. Like, oh, fuck that mess. Jeez. Yeah.
But if you like Samurai Showdown 4, that's the next one. It's already out, so... right. But future titles like Fatal Fury and King of Fighters 99 will also make their appearance. Puyo Puyo Tetris is coming west, but it's already out in Japan. Then Monopoly for Nintendo Switch.
This is, I don't know whether it's Chris Kohler or somebody else that says, if you have to hype Monopoly, you do not have enough games.
It's true.
Although, I will say one thing about it is, when I was growing up, we had all kinds of board games at my house, whenever.
You should know that, Chad, that Monopoly is a shit board game.
It was a shit board game, and we had, I don't know, eight different versions, like Star Wars Monopoly, and, we had one for each of my parents' colleges, all kinds of versions. But, it got to the point where I wanted to get a new board game, but we had to, you know, get rid of one in, one out kind of system. And, Mousetrap was, of course, the first thing to go, because that's an awful, awful game in itself. I don't know, like, maybe not the Switch, but I do like the idea of an electronic system that just has a lot of board games on it.
I've got the thing for you, Chad. It's called an iPad.
Oh, really? I've never heard of this. Okay. I already have a Switch. I'm not going to pay hundreds of dollars for an iPad. Rayman Legends Definitive Edition.
Rayman Legends is fucking fantastic, but jeez.
Yep.
God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. THQ Nordic is bringing Cinemora to Switch.
It's ancient. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 5 years, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. along with a new game, Battle Chasers Night War. That's a Kickstarter project based on a comic series. Payday 2, another ancient game coming to Switch. The Namco Museum. So, I don't know, the umpteenth billionth Namco collection. Right.
Yeah, and so like Virtual Console can wait. So
yep. That's right. Fate Extella, which just came out last year in Japan. It's like a Musou game for the Fate characters, if you're into that. Then for 3DS, the Pikmin game, already announced, but it's coming out July 28th. Kirby's 25th anniversary is this year, so they're bringing a couple of various games. Clash Deluxe, which is a free-to-start game, so there's that. Blowout Blast kind of seems like a little challenge mode. And then there's a multiplayer game coming in the holiday. Miitopia is coming west. That's an RPG that uses the Miis in your system. Ever Oasis is a new RPG by the creator of the Mana series. So that actually looks really promising. Coming out June 23rd. Fire Emblem Echoes announced for the West. It's coming out this week in Japan. So I'm really looking forward to that. I love Fire Emblem. Bye Bye Box Boy. It's coming to the West. A lot of these are just ports to the West. Monster Hunter Stories, coming to the West. Already out in Japan. Yo-Kai Watch 2, coming to the West. We've had three for a while now in Japan. And then various NIS America games, like Cold Sept Revolt and RPG Maker Fest. And in addition to all that, a ton of shitty amiibos that no one actually cares about.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely some titles I'm interested in getting, but yeah. Right. Just,
hopefully by the time we get to
E3,
they'll finally launch Virtual Console at least, and then have a bit more stuff on Mario.
Monopoly, baby!
Like Splatoon 2, I pretty love Splatoon, but it just doesn't seem like my bag
it's,
at all.
Yeah.
And Arms, I'm sorry.
So,
Mario Kart, and then long waiting until Mario, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of indie titles that they just didn't talk about.
There's quite a few, like, just little things that are popping up in the store that aren't getting any publicity at all.
Yep.
Like, is there a Nintendo equivalent to, like, the PlayStation blog? There isn't, right?
They do call it, there's not, like, a blog, but every so often they do have an indie feature in one of their directs. They did have an indies direct a while ago, but they need another one.
Yeah, I just like to know what's fucking out this week on the store or whatever. You know,
without
having to turn my fucking Twitter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, turn it on. You know, it's even for us just like getting codes and stuff. What's actually coming out next week? But speaking of things not coming out on the Switch. Right? Cued that up for you, Chad.
Right. Well, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting on this one because I know so little about it. But Dragon Quest XI, announced quite a while ago, got its own little press conference kind of deal where they talked about the release date and the price. It's going to be like 8,000 yen over here, which is ridiculous. But one of the more interesting things about it, first off, it's coming to the PS4 and the 3DS. We've known that for a while. They have also said it's coming to the Switch. But while the release dates for the PS4 and 3DS were announced, the Switch was noticeably absent.
TBD.
That's right, TBD. Yeah. Excuse me. I forgot what the actual date was, so whatever.
It's summer, like it's really soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's either June or July. The Switch version is absent, but you can get. Jason, do you know this story?
About the combined version?
Right, yeah, I was hoping you didn't, so I could quiz you. You'd have thought.
Well, I put it on our line conversations.
We have a portable version of this game and multiple home versions of this game.
Yes.
And we're going to bundle the portable and the home version together. Like, you'd think, oh, yeah, so I can get a 3D. It's a little bit weird. Okay, it's a little bit weird, Square, that you would put the 3DS version and the Switch version in the same box, being as how the Switch is a portable console. But hey, whatever, bundle them together. No, the 3DS version and the PS4 version in a box.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, oh, it's so weird because, yeah, both of them have home and mobile consoles, and oh man, this is an unhappy marriage.
Well, I mean, when was the last time you heard of Nintendo and Sony cooperating on anything, really?
Well, this seems like a unilateral move by Square. But, I mean, yeah. Like, you'd have to imagine that. You know, I think Sony probably would have been like, eh, you know, I mean, like, the Vita's fucking up the river anyway, it doesn't matter. But, like, Nintendo must have hit the fucking roof. You'd have to imagine, being like that the Switch version is coming, you know, at some point in theory, unless the Switch version is so troubled. It's in such trouble that the TBD really means, like, God knows when. Really weird. Really, really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all in the same box, and it's going to be about $135 for that version. And of course, it's not going to have any kind of cross save.
You're right. Yeah.
So,
but they're effectively different games.
That's true, right?
You know, I mean, it's like I don't know, even though I don't know for sure what the story is the same. I think the story is the same.
The story is
a lot of the locations the same. But the PS4 version is obviously, you know, I mean, it's a fucking PS4 game, and the 3DS is a 3DS game. But the 3DS has got, like, this weird thing where it's in 3D, or, like, the top part of the screen is sort of 3D-ish, and then a 3D polygon, I mean. And then the bottom part of the screen is, like, you're playing a 2D 8-bit version of it, which, yeah. Is interesting, you know, so it's a fun little gimmick, I suppose. But yeah, good grief. It seems like all is not too well in Switchville, like after that news.
Right. Yeah. Although I'll probably just skip that anyway, because, Akira Toriyama, get that guy out of there, please.
I take it you're not a big Dragon Ball fan, Jack.
No, it's because I'm a Dragon Ball fan that I can't stand Dragon Quest. Like, I mean, well, not so much fan. Like, I used to be a fan, but then I grew out of it. But, yeah, I like Dragon Ball, but then, like, even on Dragon Ball, every character looks the same. And then
Did you like Blue Dragon, Chad?
I never played Blue Dragon.
Did you like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Chad?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Did you like Dragony Dragon 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 Man?
Right. I did like that one.
Did you like Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja?
I like Puff the Magic Dragon. I tried playing Dragon Quest 7 and 8, and I was like, this guy is just Goku with different hair. And I couldn't stand it. So I was like, nope. Yeah. It didn't help that, like, the music is on, like, 30 second loops, but yeah. Anyway. Right.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure that the game itself is none of our bags, but yeah, it's going to be a sore blow for Nintendo.
Yeah, although I will say the only thing about this PS4 and 3DS version is I heard that there's something called the Spell of Restoration in the game. And it's something like you get a password that kind of details what you've done in the game. And then you can put in that password and it will basically reload your game from there. So maybe there's some kind of weird system where you can finish playing on your PS4 and before you gotta go out from work, you gotta go like, okay, let me write down this 50 character count.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly. Yeah. It's gonna cover so many fucking variables.
What year is it?
Characters like.
Yeah. What year is it?
Exactly. I mean, you know where it's gonna be, and like, it'll be just like, you know, it'd be entering in a fucking basic program from the spec, and then like you'll get so far, and then it'll be like, oh no, that was a zero, not a no.
Just quick side note. One thing I will say that I love about the Switch's code redemption thing in the shop is that it wipes out all the like zeros and ones.
Yeah, that's good.
Because, like, they're guaranteed to be the other thing. So, anyway, that's just a small thing. Right. The only other thing I can think of is it's, for daddy to play the PS4 version at home and kids to play the 3DS version somewhere else.
Maybe.
And never to share. No. Right.
Right. I don't think that's the end. It's just for the... It's for the nerd, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's talk about another game that is not so good at sharing. And that is Persona 5. So Persona 5 was released while we were out in absentia. And it's taking the gaming world by storm. Everyone seems to love it. It was my game of the year last year. And it was amazing then, and seems to be amazing now. But it did come with one very annoying feature that remained.
Well, it has, sorry to interrupt, come with a pair of annoying features brought over in the form of some really bad localization. I don't know whether you've listened much, Chad, to either the English voice acting or some of the load problems that it has come up with it. You know, like there's an entire, like there's a section or one of the quizzes that you're dealt with in class basically demands that you understand how to play shogi, which I think most Western people don't. And then the voice acting is just full of like, terrible pronunciation of names and just bad voice acting in general, but like it's all, you know, I don't know the exact names involved, I can't remember, but yeah, it's all like Takeshita, and you know, it's just really every sort of imaginable, like you don't know how to say any of these names or be able to read any of the places that are in it. It seems bad localization is one of the issues here.
But it's really weird because I was reading some stuff about all of this, and the voice actress for one of the characters in particular, Anne, has said that she's, you know, kind of struck back. She's defending herself on Twitter by saying that the director actually came out, like, you know, the Atlas director came out and said, like, this is exactly how we want you to pronounce it. Like, the Japanese director told her to pronounce it that way, which, like, if it's untrue, it would seem like a very idiotic thing to lie about, but if true, why?
So, like, what the fuck were you doing?
Yeah.
It makes me think of Shenmue, like, the you know, legendarily bad English voice acting in Shenmue was because Yu Suzuki did all the voice directing, and Yu Suzuki cannot speak English. But just went with whatever sounded cool to him, and he was just like, "Yep, one take, yep, next."
Yeah, I have heard stuff like that. Now on the questions thing, I can kind of give you credit for the shogi thing. Yeah, a lot of Western players aren't going to understand that. But at the same time, the Persona series, has kind of long been known for a lot of these questions. And even like very specific Japanese things. Like there was a question in, Persona 4 about, Murakami's Wind Up Bird Chronicle. Which, you know, people in the West aren't gonna read.
I've read it.
But you are both in Japan, like, so. you both also have some interest in Japanese culture. And, I mean, people who play Persona might, but I would doubt even 25% have read that book. But yeah, there are a number of questions. And, even things that require Japanese language knowledge, like what sport is Heikindai, which is the balance beam in Japan. I still remember that question. But, I will say one thing that's nice about Persona 5 is it does have like a network feature where you can just press a button and see what everybody else said. And you'll go like, oh, okay, it's this. And if you don't want to see that, then you don't have to press the button. Right. So back on the main issue here, streaming is not allowed. Sharing is not allowed. Screenshots are not allowed. And these were all issues I came across when I was playing my Japanese version. And it was very annoying because, the PS4, as most people know, takes automatic screenshots unless you turn off the option when you get trophies. And I was getting a lot of trophies. Bling! A little pop-up notification, and then immediately followed by another pop-up notification saying, cannot take a screenshot now. So I was given constant reminders of that. Now, so it came out in the West, and people were, kind of naively, speculating that the only reason it was blocked in Japan was that they didn't want the Western fans to get spoiled. Right? They didn't want people playing the Japanese version to upload it to YouTube, even though it was, and get spoiled. So, it was released in the West, and lo and behold, that restriction is still there. Along with an official statement, from Atlas itself, with very strict, guidelines on what you can, stream and share if somehow you get around, not somehow, just use an Elgato or something like that, if you get around the block. So there were restrictions like you can only, you can stream up to 90 minutes. You're not allowed to show only cutscenes. You have to show a majority battling and dungeon crawling. You aren't allowed to show any bosses except for one particular boss, and you aren't allowed to show anything past July 7th in the game. It works on a calendar system. So there were even threats saying that if you streamed past that point, then Atlas would make either a copyright claim or some kind of strike and basically, threaten to take channels down. Which is just far and beyond more than any other company has done when it comes to streaming games.
And there's been no rationale for this, right?
You're gonna ruin it. It's a, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the official thing. Idiotic. So yeah. this being a Japanese title with a single playthrough story means our masters in Japan, that being Atlas Japan, are very wary about it. And that's basically all they said. So they don't want their single player story, shared. And the only devil's advocate argument I can make for this is that Persona really is kind of just a full on story. It's not like Western RPG where, various outcomes are possible, or you play your own way. It's a set story. And so, yeah, like, they might be worried about the handful of people who are just gonna watch the game on YouTube and say like, okay, right. Well, I just watched it. I don't have to buy it now.
Yeah, but a lot of metrics actually indicate that those people actually go out and buy the game afterwards.
Absolutely.
In the majority, and that the people that are just watching all the way through likely weren't going to buy the game anyway. But that, you know, it's a clear thing of the, and this happens a lot, mainly with Japanese companies, and not just in video gaming. And like, I'm speaking from experience, but like, they don't really understand how the internet works. In the modern in the modern day, and like, that's a shame and whatever. But yeah, it's dumb. I think the only sort of justification against sort of streaming, or like being wary of streamers and Let's Players, is when you've got something like Gone Home, which is like 2 hours long, you know,
or 45 seconds,
or 45 seconds. Yeah, if you do it that way. But like, you know, when, you know, even if you do everything in that experience, it's 2 hours long. And again, it's predominantly narrative, then yeah, you know, but
yeah, I spent hundreds of hours in my playthrough, so but right, so some people have been curious about whether this is like a Sega thing or Atlas thing. In my experience so far, it does just seem to be Atlas, because the Yakuza series still allows streaming and screenshots, and as well as Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is another Sega game. So it does just seem to be Atlas Japan, which is...
Well, what other games have they done this with, any of their other games?
I don't think so, but this is their first PS4 game, so...
I guess.
Right.
Seems strange.
Yep. Seems strange. But, I don't know. We'll have to wait for Persona 5 Dancing All Night or something like that. Still. Which would be amazing, by the way. Persona 5 has some awesome music. I want to play that. So, get on that, Atlas. Right, well, that is basically going to do it for all of the real news, that is fit to print this week. So let's move on to video games. We've been gone for about 2 weeks now. I played a handful of games. A lot of my time has been taken up by Mass Effect. Still trying to get through that. It does look a lot better now. Patches have come out. Facial animations are much better. Eyes don't look as wooden. There's still some faces, but, yeah, for the most part, a lot of it has been cleaned up, but, that will not fix the incredibly boring and tedious story. At this point, I'm kind of just in the ride, because the handlebars are down, and I don't go into the sunken cost fallacy, but I love Mass Effect, and I just keep hoping somewhere it's going to turn around and at least show me some kind of promise, but that hope is wearing thin. Anyway, the games I've been playing besides that are for the Switch. I'll talk about one, and then you can talk about one, and Chris is...
Well, that'd be great if I played anything. I've only played a DLC. That's all I played.
And you talked about that last time.
And so. I talked about that last time, yeah.
Yep. And we might be doing a spoiler cast after this.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. But, okay, then I'll talk. And Chris is currently away from the computer, but he'll be back soon.
I'm back.
Back. There you go.
I'm back.
Okay,
I'm
well.
Back. My kid had a nightmare.
Okay. You killed all the monsters under the bed, and you're back.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I bought a game for my Nintendo Switch, mostly because...
Can I go first? Because
sure.
I bought a Nintendo Switch.
Okay, go for it.
So, you know, that I was like, you know, so I had that sort of first day experience 1 month late. I finally got my thing. And it's alright, isn't it? It's alright. It's alright. It's, God, like, those Joy-Cons are really small, aren't they? They're fucking tiny. But perfect for kids. That is one of the things. And I always thought, like, these things would be perfect for kids. But they're not also...
I guess I just must have, like, the smallest hands in the world, because, honestly, they feel very slightly small, but not, like, fucking small to me.
Well, yeah, bear in mind, though, like, for the most part, you're playing on your own, right? Like, you haven't taken those things and played with another person.
Right, I haven't done, like, a two-handed... Yeah, haven't put two hands on one, yeah, right.
Yeah. That's what I meant, right? That's when it, like, things feel really tiny. But yeah, I mean, like, even in control pad mode, I'm like, oh, I've got to get a pro controller. Cause like, this is just awkward. It's more like that, you know, not having a proper D-pad and having four buttons directly underneath the left analog stick. That's really, or especially in Zelda, where it's like changing weapons and, it's just so clumsy.
I will say though, but, you know, the reviews for that controller seem to be really good. So,
pro controller. Yeah. I don't like those buttons on the top of the Joy-Cons. Not like the triggers, not ZL, ZLR, but like the ones where you when you the hold it horizontally.
Buttons. Oh,
yeah, those shoulder buttons. Mainly because like if you put the strap on, then you've got a bigger. Like, you've got a bigger sort of travel place to put your finger.
Right.
But those fucking soul strap, like, I've used them once, and I'm like, I'm never fucking using them again. Because it's so easy to put them on the wrong way around, first of all.
Yep.
And then when they, even if they're on the right way, they're really fucking hard to take off.
Yep.
And just from an industrial design perspective, like, the edges of those fucking Joy-Cons are just... It's just invitation to slice your thumb open. Like, and I nearly did when I was taking, you know, because I did put that safety strap on the wrong way around the first time. I was like, I fucking broken this thing. Yeah. And I tried to push it off and like, yeah, it was like, ow, it's fucking painful. System itself is quite nice, I suppose, you know, and it does feel a little bit magical when you're setting this up, where you know you go through the first few bits of setup on the tablet, and it's like, do you want to put it on the TV now? And like, yeah, okay, just like plug this in, it'll take a couple of seconds, and it's like, no, it just instantly appears on the TV. Like, that's kind of neat. What else got in my craw?
Have you tried it mobile yet?
Yeah. I've done all that stuff. Like, I think it's a little bit weird, or perhaps I don't know what I was expecting, but it's like it's a little bit disappointing in a sense, just from a UI UX kind of perspective, that when it's docked, it's literally the same, right? You know, I mean, it's not. You know, I guess like in my mind, I was kind of expecting. Going from an iPhone to an iPad in terms of UX, you know, where it does, you know, if you're using the Mail app on an iPad, it gives you a preview pane and like it takes advantage of that screen real estate, right? But there's nothing from the UI perspective of using the extra real estate of the TV. You know, it's still just like that really cluttered newsfeed when, you know, when you go into the thing on the newsfeed or whatever. I mean, like that's a minor irritation, I suppose.
But I totally get you. And there are still some issues. Like, I had one this week where, I decided to buy a Shovel Knight. And so I go into the e-store or e-shop, whatever it's called. And, you can no longer find that in like the default that pops up because that's the recent releases.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly sure how to find everything on that store.
the only way I found it, I mean, yeah, I went to bestsellers and it's there. That's fine, but right. I mean, if it but wasn't if a bestseller, not... right?
Yeah,
you had to go into the search. But then it's like, what if I just didn't know that Shovel Knight existed on this system? Like
exactly. I just want to see everything that's on the shop, please.
Yeah. Thank Even you. Like Legend of Zelda is now out of the recent releases pile, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you could buy this digitally. Like.
Yeah. That's really how Nintendo of them. But yeah. I have got four games on it. Zelda, obviously, is Zelda. I don't know how much I can add to the conversation about Zelda. But so presumably we'll wait until Game of the Year to talk about that. Like, but yeah, I just got off the Great Plateau in that, so I'm fairly early on. I got 1-2 Switch, which it's good. I like it. I played it once. I played a few rounds of it. Played a couple of rounds of it with my son, and kind of had to let him win for the most part. But I played.
Which game do you like the most? Like Runway or Milk or?
Yeah, I'd have thought he'd have loved Dance because like he likes to actually dance and. You know, in a completely random, random sort of walk kind of way. But he suddenly got really shy when Dance was like, I don't want to do it, watch you, Daddy. Like, oh, he liked telephone because, like, that's really easy. It's just a very simple concept. Like, you put the Joy-Cons on the floor, you wait, and then you wait for the telephone to ring, and then you have to pick it up and answer it. So, like, you know, that's good. One of the ones, my favorite one that I did playing with my wife was, like, Rotation, where you have to put the Joy-Con down on its side. And it's like you have three attempts each to pick the Joy-Con up, rotate it, and then put it back down. And the person with the biggest rotation wins. But, like, if the Joy-Con tips or shakes even a little bit, then like, you know, your score gets reset to zero. And that's a really fun little game, because you can fuck with the other person, but then like, you know, even if not, it's like, oh, it's fairly easy to pick something up straight and rotate it like 100 degrees or whatever. But then after that, it gets really difficult to sort of like twist your arm around without letting the thing drop. So like there's a lot of like little things in there which are quite clever and inventive, and of course like zero depth or whatever, but like it's a fun game. Yeah, it should totally have been a pack-in. It's fun. It's pretty good. I got Snipperclips, which is good. It's a lot of fun. Don't bother with like the party play thing. Don't bother with like the sports mini games. They're both crap. But like the actual puzzles with somebody else it's really good. And again, I was playing that with my son, and like we were playing it in tablet mode, like instead of on the TV, because it's very much like a game where you want to touch the screen. Like there's no touch inputs on it, but you want to touch it and say, "You go here, you know, here," which you can't really do with it with the TV. But like it's good communication. Would obviously lose everything. You can play that one player, but you probably don't want to. And then I played a game Jason's interested in, which was Master Blaster Zero.
Yeah, I watched some videos of that, and it looks just like, well, not just like the original. Obviously, it's a remake, but it looks awesome. Looks great.
Well, it's a new game. It's not a remake. It's a...
Well, but I mean, I watched a playthrough of the first level, and it's basically the same.
I think it's like the first setting maybe is the same. But again, I'm not coming at it from someone that's played Master Blaster.
I played that way back.
And it's weird because like Master Blaster, like nostalgia for Master Blaster is an incredibly American thing. It was one of those random games. It did come out in Japan under a different name. Didn't have any story in it. And it did terribly, yeah. Just people, oh, what is this? You know, whatever. You know, whereas in America, for whatever reason, it became a cult hit. I mean, it's good. It's good. It's definitely worth the like the 1,000 yen that you would pay for it. It's got the same thing in Master Blaster where it's like non-linear platforming when you're in the car, and then when you get out, then like it's sort of top down. sections. And I gather, my understanding is that the top-down sections in the original were incredibly cheap and shitty. Is that correct, Jason? Does that ring true to you?
Kinda, yeah.
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 They kind of made these top-down sections very, very soft in this game. They're very easy for the most part. You can get ridiculously overpowered weapons very, very quickly. And in the first sort of part of the game, it's almost like kind of clever because like what weapons you have is tied to your health. Like you have weapon power-ups, but then like your weapons go down in power as you get hit. So there's a little bit of risk reward to that. It's like, oh, that's kind of clever. But then like on the second level of the game, you get a power-up that renders that obsolete because like your weapons charge right back up.
Oh, what?
He's taken that interesting thing completely away. But yeah, I don't know. I think like in general, I like it. It's good. But if you don't have the nostalgia for it, it's definitely something that shows its age. In the non-linear sort of platforming bits, there's a little bit of backtracking, but like this is no like intricate Metroidvania like at all. Like, don't get your hopes up for that, you know. There's a little bit of like going up here and then you'll get a new ability and then like you'll be able to open a door you couldn't before. Well done, go you. But like it's nothing, you know, it's not like even an Axiom Verge from last year. It's nowhere near at that level. And then the top-down shooting sections are fine, but like I said, they're kind of soft. It's not like a intense twin-stick shooter that they could have made. So yeah, it's kind of, if this had come out on the NES as well, I think people would be mad for it even today. But I think like now in 2017, it's like, oh, this was kind of an old concept. So I think it does stay true with carrying the spirit of the original, I suppose. But that game is showing its age.
I would, if I had my NES and that cartridge, I would play it right now. I love that game.
Well, there you go. This game is probably for you. If you like this kind of thing, then this is the kind of thing you like.
And what game is that again?
It's Master
Blaster Master.
There we go. Thank you. I was wondering if Master Blaster is anything like Blaster Master.
Well, I think it might have.
I'm joking.
Master Blaster in Europe.
No, maybe. But it's in, no. That,
yeah. The original Japanese title though will never be defeated. Cho Wakusei Senki Meta Fight.
Brilliant meta.
Which means like planetary war records meta fight.
And then yeah, they were just like, oh, and it didn't have a story at all, right? And then they were just like, oh, how are we going to sell this to the Americans? Let's make it about a boy looking for his frog.
Yeah. Oh my.
I do beg your pardon, Master Blaster was a song by Stevie Wonder.
That's right, it was.
And that's the music for this podcast.
The main reason I even loved that game in the first place is because the name of the guy who lost his frog is Jason.
Yep. So tell me, you got a dog named Fred, right?
No, our dog's name was Bozo.
Okay.
Stupid. That was a stupid dog.
That's like a.
That reminds me of a joke I saw on Twitter today.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, why is my sister called Teresa? And like the dad goes, oh, that's because your mum really likes Easter so much, and Teresa is an anagram of Easter. Oh, right, I understand. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, Alan.
Okay. This is a family-friendly podcast, sir. It's really not, but... right, so... Yeah, I played, we'll go on to the game I played now, and that is, the Graceful Explosion Machine. So, as I said, like, more and more indies are starting to pop up. We talked about Snake Pass last time, right, so now we have Graceful Explosion Machine. This is a, kind of, it's a Defender-like, sort of, having not played the original Defender, I can't say exactly how much I like it is, but it's a...
Explain what you think Defender is, and then I will tell you whether it's a Defender.
It's a... You move left to right in a little spaceship and shoot alien creatures and other spaceships and blow them up and yeah.
But there's a key aspect of Defender in Defender A. It's like it's a wraparound,
right? Yeah,
a right and left in, and yep. Then there are people on the ground that you're supposed to be defending.
Yeah,
and if they get taken away, then they get turned into mutants.
Yeah, like in Resogun as well. But there are no people here, but it does have the wraparound map. It's just shooting up different ships. It's only $20, so it's not super long. It's got like four different planets, and each planet has 10 stages, ending in like a warp section. All the regular stages come in, three phases. So you'll have like, you know, easy, medium, and hard phase, and you get through each phase, and then you can go on to the next, stage. The warp, stage at the end, though, is a little bit different in that it is all a single phase. You just have to survive, like, until the warp core is ready, and then you can go to the next planet. The gameplay, like I said, it's a wraparound shooter. You have, little maps in, very vivid colors, oranges and purples and kind of teals, are kind of the palette that they use. And, the graceful explosion part comes in that, yeah, like shooting stuff makes, instead of, you know, fiery explosions, these are kind of, pretty geometric shapes. Like when you blow things up, they make little teal squares and white circles and things like that. This is actually, quite a fun game. I wasn't expecting to get quite as much enjoyment out of it as I did, but, each little world comes with its own unique style of enemies. For example, there's a jellyfish creature that when you shoot it, it splits, or when you destroy it, it splits into two smaller versions. And that's not quite so uncommon, but, the kind of twist here is that one of the halves that comes out of it, will explode if you shoot it. And so you kind of have to stay away from that one because it will damage you. Whereas the other one is just a normal jellyfish, which will again split into two parts. And then there are, various constructs, various machines that will appear, to create, various missiles that launch at you and stuff like that. You have a variety of different weapons. You have a kind of sustained laser fire, your regular pew 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 beam, which can overheat, and be disabled for a little while. You have a missile launcher, which shoots like eight missiles at a time. Like a little blade that, will swipe around you. it's really interesting because, of course, every ship that comes after you kind of has its own different, weapon that works best for destroying it. But the thing that will attack you the most is, these, you know, little, you know, cannon fodder. You destroy them, you get some points, as well as you get some fuel, which is needed to use the other weapons, like the missiles. The only thing I kind of didn't like about it is that the stages themselves, while they do wrap around horizontally, they do have like a verticality to them. There are various like rock formations that you have to work around. And sometimes like, enemies will get trapped in like a little, outcropping or something like that. And, it's kind of hard to shoot at them, without exposing yourself to more danger, but at the same time, you are working against a clock because it does have a Resogun-style, like, combo builder. So the more you destroy, the bigger your point total gets. Sometimes those outcroppings will get you, and it it especially comes, it's especially noticeable because while you can move up and down, there are some things like you can only fire left and right, except for your missiles. Those are the only things that go vertically. You have a dash, but even the dash only goes left and right, which can kind of screw you in certain situations where you really need to dash up instead of left. But other than that, I mean, it's a really fun game and it's really good for like that just one more kind of feeling. I was hooked for like the first two worlds, before I took a single break. So yeah.
Good. the sort of thing that will be on Switch.
Right. Yep.
Little good games that aren't particularly of much.
That's right. That's exactly what this is. It is a little good game. Yeah. And it won't break your wallet or anything like that. So, the other game I played, I won't talk too much about it. Probably talk more next week. I played, some Cosmic Star Heroine, but I've only played about 2 hours. It's a very, like, JRPG-ish kind of game, so probably not Chris's bag, but, it's trying to evoke a Chrono Trigger-style aesthetic with the character design, while the story itself is more, of a space adventure. You're in the far-flung future, and, you find out that, like, there's this robotic experiment going on where you can merge machine with minds and basically control how people think. And so you have to kind of go against your organization, which is kind of pushing this, and then fight them. Like I said, it's very JRPG style. So you have a... right now I have 4 people in my party, and you walk around, they follow you on the overworld map, and you have turn-based combat. In between, you have abilities and equipment that you can, kind of customize to however you want to play the game. So I'll probably talk more about that next week, though. So that is all the games that we played, along with Jason playing more DLC. Other games coming out pretty soon here, within the next week. We didn't have an episode last week, so missed those releases, but them's the breaks. So next week we have Full Throttle Remastered is coming out for PC, PS4, and Vita, along with Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series. I'm actually kind of interested in that. We'll see how that works out. The Disney Afternoon Collection, which just seems to be a collection of Disney games, like
This is the DuckTales game. Oh, but like what?
It's DuckTales
Reduxes, or are these the originals? It's like it's Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale, DuckTales, and something.
Tailspin.
Tailspin. Yeah. So are these like the NES games, or like, because Darkwing Duck was like PC Engine, right?
I'm actually not sure about that.
You continue. I shall fact check.
Sure, go for that. We have The Silver Case coming to PS4. Wonder Boy The Dragon's Trap, which is a remake of the original Wonder Boy 3, coming to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Micro Machines World Series coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One, as well as... just a moment. Lost my place here. Get back to it. Okay. And we also have... more Neo Geo stuff on the PlayStation 4, Art of Fighting, ATV Renegades, PS4, all of these following will be PS4. So, Bandit 6 Combined Arms for VR, Dark Souls 3, the Fire Fades edition, that's the Game of the Year edition. Demo, The Last Recital, coming to Vita, that's a rhythm touch game. We have Flint Hook, which is another game by Tribute, who did, I always forget, Curses and Chaos, there you go. And we have Herocade, which is another VR game. It kind of seems like a collection of various experiences. Late Shift for PS4, which is an out-of-nowhere... I'd never heard of this game before, but it's an out-of-nowhere FMV crime thriller for the PS4. Yeah, so...
JB Howell strikes again.
Yeah. We had The Bunker last year, which was terrible, but I don't know. Maybe I'll check this one out. Mech Runner, PS4, Rise and Shine, Shyness, The Lightning Kingdom, which is the very first Kickstarter game I ever kickstarted.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Finally made it out.
Yeah. And I kickstarted it because the main character's name is Chado, so... Spear of Destiny. I have no clue what this game is.
Isn't that like a it's a Wolfenstein 3D sequel, isn't it?
This is not that then, but no. Yeah, it's
yeah.
The description is, this fantastic ancient world has been invaded by powerful enemies who rule in the dark. Several centuries have passed since Light's lords defeated them with the Spear of Destiny. The end.
Okay, yeah, that's not Wolfenstein. Yeah, that's not Wolfenstein.
VR Invaders Complete Edition. And that is it.
So there's all the hot, exciting update on Disney Afternoon Collection. It is a compilation of 6 video games previously released by Capcom for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Mm.
So they're all NES games. They are DuckTales, DuckTales 2, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 1 and 2. There you go.
All right. So, yeah, there's some interesting titles. Flint Hook seems interesting. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy thing, although that's a Telltale game, so be prepared for frame lag. Yeah. And Silver Case, of course. Silver Case coming out.
Mm.
So, yeah, lots of interesting stuff. And that's gonna do it for episode 231 of the podcast. We do have things on the website, so you can go over there at kaijupop.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are kaijupop at YouTube and at kaijupop on Twitter. You can also follow us individually. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
At Reason JP.
And I'm at Gibsaurus.
And we want to thank you all for listening. Have a good time out there. Goodbye.
Bye then.
See ya.